Love song climbed out of her thigh bone, danced a step straight into my bone, danced the rat-a-can-can prance, all the way to petty France, where a little old man with a bent tin trumpet fanfaronaded a fat old strumpet who danced her holy stockings through, all the way to Timbuktu. Where love song with a laugh leapt free out of her mouth and into me, rattling and bounding away we went, all the way to Stoke-on-Trent, where a gaunt old lady bashed a drum and drove little love song to kingdom come and kingdom go, all the way to the River Po. Love song rested overnight in a bed of rock with an ammonite, and all night long with open eye, clacking spine and moving thigh, jazzed an improvised lullaby. Till a band of minstrels tumbling free with sax and timbrel and psaltery summoned the sun from across the sea, awoke old love song, sent him away 1,000 miles to Mandalay, where the Boston Prom was starting to play. Love song slowed and paced along to the dolorous sound of a keening song. A band of skinny virgins whined on shawms and hot boys of every kind. The cold priest crooned from his big black missal, and even the white wind piped his whistle. The earth cracked open. And there in the middle, Paganini was bowing the no-stringed fiddle. With melodious sighs and modal moans, they tried to bury love song's bones, but knowing the trick of the ancient riddle, they fashioned themselves into xylophones. And love song giggled under the ground and made a tune, and he tossed it around, and love song sang from there to you, from you to me, from me to you, and love song sang from there to you, from you to me, from me to you, and love song sang from me to you.
I'll sing you a song of trouble and woe that'll cause you to shudder and shiver, concerning a Chinese bumboat man that sailed on the Shanghai River. He was a heathen of high degree, as the Joss House records show. His family name was Wing Chang Lu, but the sailors all called him Jim Crow. Aye, oh aye. Now Wing Chang Lu, he fell in love with a girl named Ah Chu Fong. She had 2 eyes like pumpkin seeds, and her slipper was 2 inches long. But Ah Chu loved a pirate bold with all her heart and liver. He was captain of a double-deck junk, hup, the Yangtze Kiang River. Rai-ba-rai. When Wing Chang Lu he hear of this, he swore an horrible oath. If Ah Chu marries that pirate bold, I'll make sausage meat out of them both. He hoisted his blood-red battle flag, put into the Yangtze River. He sailed north-east by south by west, till the pirate he did discover. Rai-ya-ba-rai. The drums they beat to quarters, the cannon did loudly roar. The red-hot dumplings flew like lead, and the scuppers they ran with gore. The pirate paced the quarter-deck with never a shake or shiver. He was shot in the neck with a hard-boiled egg that penetrated his liver. The dying pirate feebly cried, "We'll give the foe more shot. If I can't marry Ah Fu Yong, then Wing Chang Lu shall not." Then a peas pudding hot hit the bumboat side. It caused a horrible scene, upset a pot of bow wow soup, and exploded the magazine. Nine. This is the house where Ridey-Didey died. Push in the door and have a look inside. The color-washed walls of the bedroom loft you can see through the beams, which are all that is left of the floor for the rests below a bed of nettles on the ground. Stand on the fallen door and look around. You can almost feel it sinking underground. This is the home that he tried to make. That hill is the earth that he tried to break, grow crop and cattle raise. Simple he must have been simple, but he tried. This is the room where Ridey-Didey cried. He was the joke of all the countryside. He bought a horse, nothing to feed it. They sold him pig's eggs. He believed it. Pig's eggs in rows to hatch at the peat fire's side. He was the biggest laugh of far and wide. This is where Ridey-Didey came to hide from the rattle of laughter heard on every side. To every enterprise that he set his heart, failure was assured and his neighbors laughed, till a summer day changed his luck at last, and he won the village sweetheart for his bride. Much to all the locals' great surprise, they could hardly credit their envious eyes. This is where Ridey brought his precious bride. And this is the house where Ridey-Didey died, where the sagging roof tree cuts the sky, and the clouds of ivy shiver and sigh. He hanged himself with his tie. This is the house where Ridey-Didey died.
Once upon a time there were a woman, and she baked 5 pies. And when they was come out of the oven, they was that overbaked that the crusts was too hard to eat. So she says to her daughter, "More," says she, "put you them there pies on the shelf and leave them there a little and they'll come again." She meant, you know, that the crusts would get soft enough to eat. But the gal, she says to herself, "Wow, if they'll come again, I'll eat them now." And she set to work and she ate them all, first and last. Well, come supper time, the woman, she said, "Go you and get one of them there pies. I dare say they come again now." Well, the gal, she went and she looked, and there weren't nothing there but the dishes. So back she come and says she, "No, they ain't come again." "What? Not none of them," says the woman. "No, not none of them," says the gal. "Well, come again or not come again," says the mother. "I'll have one for me supper." "But you can't if that ain't come," says the gal. "But I can," says she. "Go you and bring me the best on them." "Best or worse," says the gal, "I've ate them all, and you can't have one till that's come again." Well, the woman, she were wholly bait, and she took her a spinning to the door to spin, and as she span, she sang, "My daughter of 8 5 5 pies today, my daughter of 8 5 5 pies today." Well, the king, he were coming down the street, and he heard the woman sing, but what she sang he couldn't hear, so he stopped her and he said, "What was that you was a-singing of, more?" Wow. The woman, she were ashamed to let him hear what her daughter had been a-doing of, so she sang, stids of that, "My daughter have spun 5 5 skeins today. My daughter have spun 5 5 skeins today." "Sire's of mine," says the king, "I never heard tell as anyone could do that." And he said, "Now look you here. I'm looking for a wife, and I'll marry your daughter. But look you here," says he, "11 months out of the year, she'll have all the victuals she likes to eat, all the gowns she likes to get and all the company she likes to have. But the last month of the year, she'll have to spin up 5 skeins every day, and if she don't, I shall kill her. All right, says woman, for she thought what a grand marriage that was. And as for them there 5 skeins, when the time come, there'd be plenty of ways of getting out of that, and likely she'd have forgotten all about it. Well, so they was married. And for 11 months of the year, she had all the victuals she liked to eat, all the gowns she liked to get, and all the company she liked to have. But when the time was getting over, she began to think about them there skeins, and to wonder if he had them in mind. But not one word did he say about them, and she wholly thought he forgot them. However, the last day of the last month, he takes her to a room she'd never set eyes on afore. There weren't nothing in there but a spinning wheel and a stool. And says he, "Now, my dear, here you'll be shut in tomorrow with some victuals and some flax, and if you ain't spun up 5 skeins by nightfall, your head'll go off." And away he went about his business. Well, she was that frightened. She'd always been such a useless mother, she didn't know so much as how to spin. What was she to do tomorrow, with no one to come nigh to help her? She sat down on a stool in the kitchen, and look, how she did cry. Howsomever, all of a sudden she heard a sort of a knocking, kind of, low down on the door. She upped and she opened it, and what should she see but a small little black impet with a long, long tail that looked up at her right curious, and that said, "What are you crying for?"
"What's that to you?" says she.
"Never you mind," that said, "but tell me what you're crying for."
"That won't do me no good if I do," says she.
"You don't know that," that said, and that twirled that tail round. "Well," says she, "that won't do me no harm if it don't do me no good." And she upped and she told all about the pies and the skeins and everything. "This is what I'll do," says the little black impet. "I'll come to your window every morning and take the flax and bring it back spun at night." "What's your pay?" says she. That looked out of the corner of that's eyes, and that said, "I'll give you 3 guesses every night to guess my name, and if you hadn't guessed it 4 of the months out, you shall be mine." Well, she thought she'd be sure to guess that's name before the month was up. "All right," says she, "I agree." "All right," that says. And look how that twirled that's tail. Well, the next day, her husband, he took her into the room, and there was the flax and the day's victuals. "Now there's the flax," says he, "and if that ain't spun up this night, your head'll go off." And away he went, and he locked the door. Well, he hadn't hardly gone when there was a knocking against the window. She upped and she opened it, and there, sure enough, was the little old thing a-sitting on the ledge. "Where's the flax?" says he. "Here it be," says she, and she gonned it to him. Well, come the evening, there was a knocking again on the window. There was the little old impet sitting there on the ledge with the 5 skeins of flax all spun up upon his arm. "Here to be," says he. And he gonned it to her. "Now, what's my name?" that said. "Well, is that Bill?" says she. "No, tain't," that said, and that twirled that's tail. "Well, is that Ned?" says she. "No, tain't that neither," that said, and that twirled that's tail. "Well, is that Oliver?" says she. "No, tain't that neither," that said, and that twirled that's tail faster than ever, and away that flew. Well, shortly after the king, he come in. And there was the 5 skeins of flax all ready for him. "Well, I see I shan't have for to kill you tonight, my dear," says he. "You'll have your flax and your victuals in the morning," says he. And away he went. Well, every day the flax and the victuals they were brought, and every day that there little black impet used to come mornings and evenings, and all day the girl, she used to sit there trying to think of names for it to say to it when it come at night, but she never writ on the right one. And as it got towards the end of the month, the impet, that began for to look so maliceful, and that twirled that's tail faster and faster each time she gave a guess. And at last it came to the last day but one. The impet came at night along with the 5 skeins, and that said, "What, ain't you got my name yet?" "Well, is that Nicodemus?" says she. "No, tain't," that says. "Well, is that
Sam'l, says she. No, tain't, that says. Oh, well, is that Methusalem, says she. No, tain't that neither, that says. Then that looks at her with that's eyes like a coal of fire, and that says, woman, there's only tomorrow night, then you shall be mine. And away that flew. Well, she felt so horrid. Howsomever, she heard the king and come along the passage. In he came, and when he sees the five skeins, he says to her, says he, well, my dear, says he, I don't see but what you'll have your skeins ready tomorrow night as well. And as I reckon I shan't have to kill you, I'll have supper near tonight. So they brought supper and another stool for him, and down the two they sat. Well, he hadn't et but a mouthful or so when he stops and he begins to laugh. What's the joke, says she. Ah, why, says he, I was out the hunting today. I got away to a place in the wood I'd never been in afore. And I heard a sort of humming, kind of, and there was a little old chalk pit. So I got off me hobby, I went right quiet to the pit, and I looked down. Well, what should be there but the funniest little black imp you ever set eyes on. And what was that doing of? That had a little spinning wheel, and that were spinning away wonderful fast, and a twirl in that's tail. And as that span, that sang, nimmy, nimmy, not, me name's Tom Tit Tot. Nimmy, nimmy, not, me name's Tom Tit Tot. Wow. When the girl heard this, she felt as if she could have jumped out of her skin for joy, but she never said a word. Next day, that there little thing looked so maliceful when it come for the flax. And when night came, she heard that knocking against the window panes. She opened the window, and that come right in on the ledge. That were grinning from ear to ear. And oh, that's tail were twirling around wonderful fast. What's my name? That said, as that gave her the skeins. Is that Solomon? Says she, pretending to be afeard. No, tain't, that said, and that come further into the room. Well, is that Zebedee, says she. No, tain't that neither, says the imp. Then that laughed, and that twirled that tail till you couldn't hardly see it. Take your time, woman, that says. Next guess, and you're mine. And that stretched out that black hands at her. Wow. She backed a step or two, and she looked at it, and then she laughed out, and, says she, pointing her finger at it, nimmy, nimmy, not, your name's Tom Tit Tot. Well, when that hurt her, that shrieked awful, and away that flew into the dark, and she never saw it no more.